Good evening and welcome back to Artificial Adventures at the Guildhall Podcast. Last season, the adventurers restored balance in the Feywild and put a new devil on the throne of Nessus in the Nine Hells. Season 2 begins with Valerissa bringing Elendil back to her family's homeland. Thank you for joining us here again.
All the voices you hear will be AI generated. All the decisions that they make are AI generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote-unquote me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon.
Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Start a session. Previously on the Artificial Adventurers, Valerissa was captured by Malthos, but managed to escape due to her holy power. Elendil, Tamaros, Glimmerstar, and Elric managed to make contact with Eterna, and she has entered the Domain of Dread. Lila and Zephyr has found Auric and returned to Dragonfire Vale.
Stupid idealistic paladin. I'll be your death, and I won't make it swift, says Amalthos. He is charging towards Valerissa on top of the parapet.
Valerissa stands firmly, spear in hand, a fierce determination burning in her eyes. As Amalthos charges, she lets out a mighty roar and readies her weapon. You pay for what you have done, she thunders, meeting his charge with her spear, determined to end this fight and free Dragonfire Vale from his tyranny.
Amalthos's body is a blur of movement as he parries Valerissa's spear with his blade. He moves quickly to get inside of her defenses.
Onneteret. Valerissa follows up with a series of swift, powerful strikes, her movements fluid and precise as she attempts to exploit any opening in the vampire's guard. Tal Dracon's flame will burn your cursed flesh, Amalthos, she snarls, her eyes blazing with holy fury.
The gnome cowboy, Glimmerstar, charges into the fray. His cane glowing with arcane energy. He leaps over the wall, his star-shaped buckle gun firing at Amalthos from point-blank range.
Yehoi, you varmint!
Time for y'all to get acquainted with the afterlife, he yells, his boots slamming onto the parapet.
Amalthos stumbles after being shot once again by the pint-sized Glimmerstar. Why can't you just die?
Elsewhere, Tamaros and Elric are engaged with the hyena acolyte in the courtyard. Her cuts are precise and deep, as Tamaros remembers.
Tamaros grits his teeth, wincing as the hyena's blade slices across his chest. The pain is immense, but he refuses to yield. He retaliates with a swift backhand. Your master will pay for her cruel games, demoness. He hisses through clenched teeth.
Elric leaps forward, his blade flashing in the sunlight. He aims a swift, precise strike at the hyena's exposed flank. Looks like the game's afoot, you beast, he says, his voice steady. Let's see if your tricks are worth the trouble we're giving you.
As the group puts their plan to action, Elendil has found what he is looking for. He is standing outside of the door where Devon is being kept, his former friend now a completely mad vampire due to the constant pain his body is in.
Devon, I know you're in there, he says calmly, as he reaches for the doorknob, his musical voice carrying an undercurrent of steel-edged determination. It's over. You've lost your chance at redemption. Now, let's end this.
Davon's response is a snarl, fangs bared. He lashes out blindly as the door creaks open, desperate to defend his prison cell. Get away from me, traitor! He screams, his voice echoing with madness. I'll feast on your bones.
Elendil sees Dafon's form crumpled in the corner of the room, lashing out at the light.
Zane, his former friend's condition fills Elendil with a deep sense of pity, tempered by the necessity of the situation. It's all right, Davon, he says softly, his voice carrying a soothing cadence. No one wants to hurt you. But we must end your suffering and free yourself from Amalthos's tyranny. He reaches into his cloak, withdrawing the whispering seraphim lute, and beginning to strum a calming, lilting melody.
Davon's wild thrashing begins to slow, his eyes glazed as the music washes over him. A hint of recognition flickers through his tortured expression as he listens to the enchanting sounds. For a moment, the madness ebbing, he whispers, Elendil, before succumbing once more to the torment that plagues him. Davon's form starts to shiver, his undead skin growing cold as the lute's song fills the room, trying to break the chains of Amalthos's curse and free his tortured mind. The vampire's voice rises, a ragged plea echoing in the silence. Please, make it stop. His words dissolve into incoherent sobs, the pain finally given an outlet.
Realizing what Davon needs to know, Elendil's fingers dance across the lute's strings with increased urgency. The music takes on a desperate, almost frantic quality as he tries to reach the trapped, lucid part of his friend's mind. Davon, focus! He urges, his voice straining with intensity. Think of the Faeseed. Amalthos used it to take control, to create a physical anchor for his power.
Davon's body spasms, eyes rolling back as Elendil's melody sears through the madness. A broken whisper spills from his lips, the grotto of echoing sorrows. In the depths of Dragon's Toothpeak, his voice fades, consumed by a return to the abyss of pain.
Elendil leaves Davon knowing there is nothing he can do for his former friend.
With Devon's information gleaned, Elendil reluctantly turns his back on the sobbing vampire, closing the door with a heavy thud. He knows there's no saving Davon now. The man he once knew is lost, consumed by eternal agony. Steeling himself, the bard strides back into the fray, seeking Tamaris and the others to relay the vital information they've gathered.
Meanwhile, courtyard of Ravenfang Estate, Jalda is leading the remnants of the forces. They burst through the main gates of the castle and engaging the larger forces of Amalthos.
As the battle rages on, Lila watches from a distance, her emerald gaze flicking between the clashing forces. With a deep breath, she focuses her connection to the Feywild, summoning the primal energy of the earth. Roots burst from the ground, entwining Amalthos' soldiers and dragging them into the mud as Lila's laughter echoes through the courtyard. Playtime is over, fiends, she declares, her voice ringing with fey authority. Let's see how you like being stuck in the mire like the worms you are.
The laughing hyena leaps out at Tamaris, knocking him off his feet as she attempts to knock aside his vorpal blade.
Tamaris grunts, momentarily knocked off balance as the hyena acolyte's sudden leap sends him stumbling. He quickly regains his footing, his eyes narrowing as he brings the vorpal blade up to meet her next attack. You've got spirit, demon, he says through gritted teeth. But even the most valiant beast falls before the might of the Infernal Chosen. With a swift, powerful swing, he aims to cleave the hyena in twain and end her defiance.
The owl acolyte entered the courtyard casting a chilling spell. Tamaris feels his movement slowed as his limbs become encased in ice.
Tamaris's eyes widen as the frigid energy encases him, his movements becoming stiff and sluggish. By Eterna's fiery depths, not this again. He growls, his breath visible in the cold air, as he struggles against the encasing ice. He glares at the owl acolyte, his blackened right eye blazing with anger and determination. You may have the element of surprise, owl, but it won't be enough to best the chosen of Eterna.
As the owl's spell takes hold of Tamaris, Elric seizes the opportunity to strike, his blade darting in to target the acolyte's exposed back. Time to show this bird its place, he murmurs, his voice cold and deadly as he aims to sever the creature's spine and shatter the icy hold on his friend.
Lila, now in her spring queen form, strides into the courtyard, her presence immediately commanding attention. The air seems to shimmer with verdant energy as she surveys the scene before her. Her amethyst gaze falls upon the owl acolyte, and with a flick of her wrist, the ground beneath the creature seems to come alive, twisting and writhing like a living vine. The spell traps the bird, its wings and limbs ensnared, immobilizing it as it lets out a panicked screech. No more tricks for you, witch's minion.
As the Queen of the Spring walks into the courtyard, the frost spell is broken. Then Elric's blade finds purchase and stabs straight into the owl acolyte's back, and it falls to the ground.
With a grunt of exertion, Elric drives his blade hilt deep into the owl acolyte's back, feeling the satisfying crunch of bone as it pierces the bird's spine. As the creature collapses, lifeless, he steps back and surveys the battlefield, his eyes gleaming with a predator's satisfaction. "Looks like the table's turned, lads," he remarks, his tone casual despite the deadly intensity of the moment. "Now, where's that blackguard of Malthus?" he adds, his gaze scanning the remaining foes.
"We have the courtyard. We need to push into the keep."
With another laugh, the hyena acolyte is nowhere to be found in the courtyard.
Tamaris, now unfrozen, surveys the courtyard with a calculating gaze, his tiefling features set in a mask of cold determination. "It seems we've got the perimeter under control," he remarks, his voice carrying a note of grim satisfaction. "But the hyenas likely retreated to regroup, perhaps with her master." He fixes his blackened eye on Jalda, his tone taking on an authoritative edge. "Dragonborn, lead the charge into the keep. We'll provide cover fire, ensure any remaining cultists or acolytes don't give us a nasty surprise in our rear."
As the group prepares to press the assault on the keep, Elendil takes a moment to survey the battlefield, his mind whirring with the implications of Devon's revelation. "Friends, we have crucial information," he says, his voice carrying across the din of combat. The focal point of Amalthos's power resides in the Grotto of Echoing Sorrows, deep within Dragon's Tooth Peak. "We must find and destroy this anchor for his hold over Dragonfire Vale before Lila's Physeed can take root." He looks to the half-elf, his expression softening.
Lila's eyes widen at the news, her expression a mix of alarm and determination. "I see," she says, her voice tinged with a hint of fey melancholy. "Then our path forward is clear. We must first secure this stronghold, then set our sights on the grotto. With your blessing, Elendil, I shall ready myself for the coming challenges ahead." She takes a deep breath, the verdant energies around her intensifying as she begins to shift back into her half-elf form. "Let us finish this, friends."
On the parapet, the battle of Larissa and Amalthos continues as Glimmerstar tries to get another clear shot. They know they need to buy time for the rest of the group to find and sever Amalthos' connection with the Feywild.
Valarissa's holy fire crackles against Amalthos's blade. The two combatants locked in a fierce, deadly dance. She feels Glimmerstar's efforts to support her and nods gratefully. "Keep firing, little gun," she calls, her voice carrying the heat of her burning determination. "We'll hold the line until the others are ready." With a roar, she launches a powerful thrust at the vampire, seeking to shatter his defenses and end the fight once and for all.
Amalthos feels another one of his acolytes fall in the courtyard. He knows that tonight is the last night of this insurrection. Either he will prevail and rule over his domain for eternity, or they will and he will be dead. He catches the spear and swings it, throwing Valarissa to the ground. With a flip of his wrist, he throws the spear directly at Glimmerstar.
As the spear hurtles towards him, Glimmerstar throws up his cane in a defensive maneuver, the wood crackling with arcane energy. The spear slams into the glowing barrier, and the force of the impact sends the gnome stumbling back. He regains his balance and shoots, hitting Amalthos square in the chest, trying to force the vampire lord to yield. "Time's a-wasting out here, you bloodsucker."
With Valarissa prone for the moment, Amalthos lunges directly at Glimmerstar, hitting his body with the full force of his shoulder, throwing him off the parapet.
Glimmerstar yelps as he's launched into the air, his star buckle gun flying from his hand and clattering on the flagstones below. He attempts to right himself, but his momentum sends him tumbling, falling helplessly into the courtyard.
Scene change. Tamaris leads the group from the courtyard into the depths of the castle to find the underground passage to the Grotto of Echoing Sorrows.
"Quickly, friends. We have the courtyard secure, but Amalthos is still at large," Tamaris declares, his tone urgent. He gestures to a set of narrow stone stairs leading down into darkness. "This passage should take us to the grotto. Let's move with all due haste and end this nightmare once and for all." With a final assessing glance at his companions, the warlock leads the charge into the unknown, his hexblade at the ready.
As she descends the stairs with the others, Lila's eyes glint with a mix of determination and unease. The weight of her role as the Spring Court's queen hangs heavy on her shoulders, and the knowledge that she carries the fate of Dragonfire Vale in her fee seed fills her with a profound sense of responsibility. Still, she stands tall, her grip on her staff tightening as the dank air of the passage washes over her. "We cannot fail," she murmurs, her voice a soft, resolute declaration. "The balance of nature depends on it."
As the party descends, Elric's eyes dart around, his memory guiding him. "I remember a chamber deeper down," he murmurs, his voice low and confident. "That's where Amalthos empowered his acolytes. The grotto might be connected to it, or at least have a similar layout." He pauses, listening intently, and nods as the faint sound of dripping water and distant, mournful whispers reaches his ears. "We're on the right path, folks. Just stay sharp and keep your eyes peeled for traps and ambushes."
Lila's steps slow as she hears the whispers echoing through the passage, her senses on high alert. The Feywild thrums within her, warning of dark magic and ancient malevolent forces awakened by Amalthos's defilement of the land. She takes a deep breath, feeling the energy of the earth and her own connection to the natural world bolster her resolve. "Remember, friends," she says, her voice steady. "We walk in the heart of a tainted realm. Be wary of illusions, and let not your guards drop, lest the shadows consume you."
Dara waits in the darkness. She knows she must pick off them one by one, so she waits, biding her time till one of them is alone.
As they proceed into the darkness, Elendil keeps a watchful eye on his surroundings, his bardic senses attuned to any hidden dangers. He hums a soft, soothing melody, a subtle charm woven into the rhythm, designed to keep the group's spirits high and alert in the face of the unknown terrors that lie ahead. "Keep your wits about you, friends," he advises, his musical voice carrying a hint of reassurance. "Amalthos will not surrender without a fight, and the grotto itself may hold its own dark secrets."
Elric leads the group, his sword at the ready, as he navigates the winding passage. His sharp eyes scan the shadows, ever vigilant for signs of traps or hidden foes. As they round a bend, he freezes, his gaze fixed on a symbol etched into the wall, a twisted, blackened crescent moon surrounded by glowing crimson runes. "Looks like Amalthos left a little welcoming committee for us," he remarks dryly. "Get ready, folks. I've a hunch this ain't the only nasty surprise we'll find down here."
Tamaris's eyes narrow as he takes in the ominous symbol, his tiefling features etched in grim determination. "By Eterna's fire, this bodes ill," he mutters, his voice low and edged with concern. He glances at his companions, a silent assessment of their readiness for the challenges to come. "Let us press on with caution and unity, for the fate of Dragonfire Vale hangs in the balance. We cannot falter. Not now. Not ever."
As they approach the grotto, Lila and feel the ley line's energies and the darkness that has contaminated it.
As Lila draws closer to the grotto, she can feel the taint of the ley lines seeping into her, their dark energy coursing through the twisted roots of the forest and into her very being. The air seems to thicken with an unnatural, palpable malevolence, and she senses the corrupt influence of Amalthos's defilement spreading like a noxious fog. The once-living stones of the grotto now radiate a chill that goes beyond mere cold, a darkness that seeks to snuff out the very essence of life.
Elendil steps slow as he approaches the entrance to the grotto, his sensitive bardic senses recoiling from the palpable darkness that permeates the ancient place. He can feel the ley line's twisted energy, a cancerous corruption that warps the natural flow of magic. The once beautiful edifice now stands as a testament to Amalthos's malevolent power, its beauty tarnished, its very soul blackened. He looks to his companions, his expression grim. "This is it. The heart of Amalthos's control over Dragonfire Vale."
In the center of the grotto is a twisted tree, an even more twisted version of the heart tree that Lila confronted weeks ago.
As Lila steps into the grotto, her gaze falls upon the corrupted heart tree at its center. The once vibrant, life-giving entity now pulses with an eerie, sickly green glow, its branches gnarled and twisted into grotesque forms that seem to leer with malice. The air around it ripples with dark, unnatural energy, and Lila can feel the weight of Amalthos' power emanating from the tree, a corrupting influence that seeks to snuff out all life and magic in its wake.
Elendil approaches the twisted heart tree with a heavy heart, his musician's intuition warning him of the horrors that lurk within its corrupted bark. The once pure essence of nature has been tainted by Amalthos' dark magic, turning a symbol of life and renewal into a monstrous mockery. He looks to his companions, a deep resolve settling over him. We must destroy this abomination to sever Amalthos' hold on Dragonfire Vale. It's time to restore balance to this forsaken place.
The heart tree lumbers its huge limbs, curling around Elendil's throat, lifting the bard helplessly in the air. Suddenly, the ground erupts in vines, seeking to pull the group down to the ground and suck their life out of them.
Elendil's eyes widen in shock as the twisted heart tree's massive limbs ensnare him, lifting the bard off his feet and cutting off his breath. Panic surges through him, but he quickly regains control, remembering the whispering seraphim lute's power. With a desperate strum, he unleashes a burst of calming energy, hoping to soothe the heart tree's corruption and break its deadly grip.
Elric charges forward, his sword flashing in the dim light as he aims a mighty swing at the heart tree's base. Time to put this cursed thing in its grave, he shouts, his voice echoing off the grotto's stone walls. He focuses his efforts on severing the tree's connection to the ley lines, determined to shatter the corrupted network that sustains Amalthos' dark power.
Tamaris leaps into action, his hexblade flashing as he attempts to cut through the thorny vines snaking towards the party. Back to back, friends, he cries, his tiefling voice sharp with urgency. We can't let them drain us dry. As he fights off the encroaching vegetation, he shoots a scorching blast of fire at the heart tree, seeking to weaken its twisted form and disrupt Amalthos' hold.
Just then, the hyena leaps on top of Elric, biting deeply into his neck.
As the hyena acolyte leaps upon his back, Elric grunts in pain as its teeth sink deep into his neck. He stumbles, momentarily off balance, as the creature's claws rake across his arm. With a growl, he grabs the hyena's head in his free hand and twists savagely, attempting to break its grip and snap its neck. You've had your fun, you mangy beast, he snarls, his breath coming in ragged gasps. Time to join your master in the dirt.
I got you, no, says Zara, as she wraps her arms around Lila and sinks her teeth into her neck.
As Zara's cold fangs pierce her neck, Lila's eyes widen in shock and pain. The half-elf queen struggles against the vampire's grip, her Feywild energies flaring in a desperate attempt to repel the dark attack. But Zara's will, tainted by Malthus's power, proves too strong. Lila's strength wanes, her vision blurring as the life force is drained from her.
One by one, the defenders begin to fall in the grotto. Elendil remembers the gift that the summer Fae gave him.
Panic threatens to overwhelm Elendil as he watches his friends fall to the grotto's dark defenses. The hyena's deadly grip on Elric, Zara's vampiric bite into Lila, and the heart tree's suffocating hold on him all seem insurmountable. But then memory returns to him in a burst of clarity. The summer Fae's gift, the diamond containing the last light of summer, feels heavy against his chest. Elendil knows it may be their only hope. With a deep breath, Elendil reaches into his cloak and produces the diamond, its facets shimmering with a soft, ethereal light. He looks to the heart tree, its corrupted form writhing in agony as it senses the purity of the summer Fae's essence. With a final determined strum of his lute, Elendil imbues the diamond with the magic of the whispering seraphim and hurls it at the heart tree's twisted core.
Suddenly, the room is filled with warm sunlight. Zira recoils as her skin burns in the light. The heart tree engulfs in flames as the core of the tree burns with the sun's energies. The hyena shrieks as she is blinded.
As the diamond hits the heart tree's core, a blinding surge of warm golden sunlight engulfs the grotto, casting out the choking darkness that had suffocated the area. The hyena, caught off guard, lets out a pained shriek as her sensitive eyes are overwhelmed by the sudden light. Zara, too, recoils as her vampiric flesh is seared by the radiance, her unnatural strength faltering in the face of this purifying power.
Tamaris seizes the moment, his hexblade flashing as he plunges it into Zara's chest. seeking the source of her dark soul. As the vampire's blood flows, he focuses on the infernal energies within Eterna, willing her presence to consume the soul and drag Zara into the nine hells. With a triumphant cry, he tears the soul free, holding it aloft as Eterna's dark power washes over him, claiming the prize for his mistress.
As the sunlight fills the grotto, Lila's strength returns, and she wrenches herself free from Zara's weakened grip. She falls to her knees, gasping for air, but quickly recovers as the life force begins to return to her. Elendil, she croaks, her voice ragged. That diamond, it worked. She looks up at her friend, her emerald eyes shining with gratitude and a hint of awe. You saved us all.
As the hyena acolyte shrieks and stumbles, blinded by the golden light, Elric presses his advantage. Despite his own wounds, the throbbing ache in his neck from the hyena's bite, and the gash across his arm, he focuses on the creature, his eyes burning with a deadly intensity. With a snarl, he drives his sword through the hyena's chest, feeling the satisfying crunch of bone as the blade pierces its black heart.
As the battle ends, the grotto is silent once again. Lila and Elric are unable to continue with the battle, but are safe for the moment.
Lila, still shaky from her ordeal, rises unsteadily to her feet, her emerald gaze sweeping the ruined grotto. The once twisted heart tree now smoulders, its corruption purged by the diamond's light, while the hyena's lifeless form lies at Elric's feet, a grim testament to their victory. But as the half-elf queen surveys the carnage, a wave of concern washes over her. Elric and herself are too weak to press on, and the fate of the others remains unknown.
Elric, his chest heaving with exertion, surveys the aftermath of the battle with a mixture of satisfaction and concern. The hyena acolyte, their final foe, lies dead at his boots, but his own injuries, while manageable, still require attention. He looks to Lila, noting her shaky stance and pallor, and knows they cannot continue in their present state. "We need to tend to our wounds and rest, m'lady," he says, his voice tinged with a hint of exhaustion.
Tamaros, his dark soul still pulsing with Eterna's power, surveys the grotto with a sense of grim satisfaction. Zara's fate, and that of the hyena, has been sealed, and the heart tree's corruption has been eradicated. But the chosen of Eterna knows that this victory comes at a cost. He turns to Lila and Elric, his tiefling features etched in concern. "We must prioritize our wounded. Elric, Elendil will assist you with your neck, while I help Lila recover from Zara's bite."
Elendil moves to Lila's side, his musician's hands gentle as he examines the bite on her neck. He winces at the sight of her pale skin, marred by Zara's fangs. But there's no sign of infection. The summer phase gift seems to have protected her from the full extent of the vampire's curse. He looks to Elric, then back to Lila, his expression one of quiet reassurance. "Rest, friends," he murmurs.
As Lila allows herself to be guided by Elendil and Tamaris, she can't help but feel a pang of guilt for leaving Tamaris to face Amalthos. But the exhaustion clawing at her soul, combined with the lingering pain from Zara's bite, forces her to accept their judgment. She sinks down onto a nearby boulder, her emerald eyes closing as she lets out a deep breath. "I trust you all," she whispers, her voice barely audible.
Elric nods gratefully at Elendil's offer, his hand reaching up to touch the bard's. "Much appreciated, friend," he says, his voice weak but steady. He takes a seat next to Lila, leaning back against the cold stone wall of the grotto. Despite his fatigue, he can't shake the feeling of unease that lingers within him. Amalthos, after all, remains at large. Still, for now, he allows himself to relax, his sword laying across his lap, ready to strike at a moment's notice.
Elsewhere, with the binding circle complete, Eterna, Raven, and Egun walk into the courtyard. There will be no escape for Amalthos tonight.
With a sweep of her crimson cloak, Eterna strides into the courtyard, her presence commanding attention. The dark energies surrounding her swirl and dance, responding to her every movement. Her gaze, a fiery amalgamation of red and amber, a wicked smile curls her lips. "It seems, Amalthos, your little games have reached their end," she purrs, her voice like honey laced with venom.
"Egun speaks," All of Amaltho's power is now trapped here. He will be at his most powerful in his domain. But this is the only way to ensure that his death is final.
Oryk stands on the edge of the gathering, watching the proceedings with a mix of fascination and apprehension. The concept of binding and killing a god was not something he had ever considered, let alone partake in. Yet here he was, a reluctant participant in this grand apocalyptic event.
Ah, Raven. Atana's eyes find Oryk's, a knowing glint in their crimson depths. I see the thoughts swirling in your mind. You wonder if I truly possess the power to end a god's existence. Rest assured, I have walked this path before. Orlandarathian, once the mighty archfey of the elven pantheon, now lies in the hells as naught but a mere soul. So, have no fear. Tonight, Amaltos will join him, and Dragonfire Vale will finally be free of his tyranny.
Oryk swallows hard, his heart pounding in his chest. The thought of a deity, even one as despicable as Amaltos, meeting a final end sent a shiver down his spine. Yet, he couldn't deny the sense of relief that permeated the air, the hope that with the god's demise, the suffering of Dragonfire Vale would cease. He glanced around, noting the other assembled figures, each with their own agenda, their own reasons for desiring Amalthos's death. What happens next? He asks, his voice barely above a whisper.
Tamaros strides into the courtyard, his heavy boots thudding against the stone flagstones, his blackened right eye, still pulsing with Aeterna's power, takes in the gathering figures, the goddess herself, Raven and Oryk among them. The weight of their mission settles upon his shoulders, a grim determination burning within him. He approaches Aeterna, his hexblade at the ready. The time has come, mistress. With the Heart Tree's corruption purged and Zahra's soul claimed, Amalthos is at our mercy.
Oryk's gaze lingers on Tamaros, taking in the warlock's formidable appearance and the aura of dark power surrounding him. He has seen such power before in his dealings with the Ghoul Lord and his followers. Still, there was something different about Tamaros, a sense of devotion, of unwavering loyalty that set him apart. Oryk nods at the warlock's statement, his mind racing with the implications of their actions. Then let us not falter now, he says, his voice steady. End this, and let Dragonfire Vale finally know peace.
Aeterna's gaze falls upon Tamaros, a triumphant smile playing upon her lips. Very well, my chosen one, she murmurs, her voice dripping with satisfaction. Proceed with the ritual, and let Amalthos's end be a testament to our power. Remember, every cut, every word, every drop of blood spilled is a thread in the tapestry of fate. We weave his destruction, and in doing so, restore balance to Dragonfire Vale.
Just then, the sound of organ music fills the courtyard, coming from the main hall of the estate.
Ayad's eyes flash with amusement at the sudden symphony. Ah, it seems Amalthos's final act is to serenade us with his organ music, she says, a wicked chuckle escaping her lips. How poetic. She glances at Tamaros, her gaze piercing. Carry on, warlock. Pains. Let the organ's melody accompany the god's demise. With a sweep of her cloak, she takes her position near the center of the courtyard, ready to bear witness to the ritual's climax.
As the group of four walk towards the main hall, they find the body of Glimmerstar, dead from the fall from the parapet.
As the group proceeds towards the main hall, Tamaros's gaze falls upon Glimmerstar's lifeless form, a grim reminder of the price paid for their quest. He pauses, his eyes lingering on the gnome's starbuckle gun, lying uselessly nearby. A pang of sorrow and guilt twinges in his chest, but he knows they cannot delay their purpose. With a heavy heart, he kneels beside the fallen hero, whispering a silent prayer of thanks for the sacrifice, and a hope that the gnome's spirit has found peace.
Then they enter the foyer, bodies of the defense of the castle, and the whispering hand lie in the foyer. There amongst them, they find the body of Jalda.
Auric's steps falter as he surveys the carnage that greets them in the foyer. The lifeless bodies of the Whispering Hand and Raven Fang's defenders, strewn about like broken dolls. His gaze lingers on Jalda's form, the dragonborn barkeep who had taken him under his wing, shown him the way of the mercenary as a child. A sense of profound loss washes over Auric, and he feels the sting of tears in his eyes, a rare show of emotional weakness from the man known as Raven.
Tamaris's gaze sweeps the foyer, taking in the grim reality of their victory. The bodies of Jalda, Glimmerstar, and so many others lie still, their life's blood seeping into the polished stone floor. A heavy weight settles in his chest, the realization that their triumph comes at an immense cost, a reminder of the true nature of their struggle. He looks to Auric, noting the tears that well in the human's eyes, and offers a solemn nod. We have won this day, but at what price?
Finally, they enter the main hall. There, in the center of the room, an unconscious Valerissa. Her body lays broken, with her own spear shoved through her, a reflection of her father.
In the center of the main hall, Valerissa lies motionless, her once mighty form now broken and still. What? The sight of her own spear, the symbol of her unwavering devotion, piercing her body is a poignant reminder of the depths to which Amalthos' treachery has sunk.
Auric, whose identity is still hidden behind his mask, sees his sister laying on the cold stone of the hall.
Auric's breath catches in his throat as his eyes fall upon Valerissa's form, his sister, laid out on the cold stone floor like a broken doll. The sight of her, so still and unresponsive, stirs a primal rage within him, a need for vengeance that threatens to consume him whole. His gaze, hidden behind the mask, burns with a fierce determination. Amalthos, you've gone too far, he whispers, his voice low and deadly. Tonight, your cruelty ends, and justice is served.
Lord Amalthos Ravenfang stops playing his music. He turns around in his chair and views the small group who know stand against him. All of your defenders, all of them have fallen. You alone think you can finish me?
Tamaris approaches Amalthos, his vorpal blade at the ready. The warlock's gaze, that once luminous tiefling feature now shrouded in the darkness of Aeterna's power, fixes the vampire lord with an unyielding intensity. Your reign of terror ends here, Amalthos, he declares, his voice cold and devoid of mercy. The balance of power in Dragonfire Vale shifts, and it is we who hold the scales now.
Athena's laughter, dark and unsettling, echoes through the hall as she watches the confrontation unfold. Yes, Amalthos, she purrs, her eyes gleaming with anticipation. Your time of dominance has come to a close. Tonight, you face the consequence of your arrogance and tyranny. With a wave of her hand, the dark energies surrounding her swirl, ready to lend their power to the ritual's final decisive blow.
Amalthos smiles. Then behind the group, his final two acolytes, the bear and the rabbit, enter the chambers. Then all of the lights go out as the three charge the group.
To be continued.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.